The fire may not out, but by the devil we return. Insanity or glory in a mind that never learns. A moment of something where the dark can reverse. Tell the lonely man where to go. Get a little excited and let it burn. It's not the only will I hold. Get a little excited and let it burn. The empty eyes are falling down the path of no return. In blindness he wonders if his mind will ever learn. A moment of something where the dark can reverse. Tell the lonely where to go.
Hi, Jeremy from Kentucky and Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate, send the fundage, mail your check or money order to Public Broadcasting Network at 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can call in your debit or credit card to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. This is our Tuesday night broadcast. And we've got our regular Tuesday night guest, the legend, the man.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
Broadcasting from the secret underground bunker at Burbank Studios, Dr. Patrick Slattery, welcome to the show.
Batman returns.
Yeah. I've got this thing going on in my voice. There's like a frog in it or something. I couldn't get the frog out. Hopefully we'll be good to broadcast. So, got a lot going on. Got trains derailing and things like that. The Biden doesn't care. Openly stated that he doesn't care. I don't know what's going on your side of the fence.
Well, I was looking over the first couple of articles you sent, one from some W whatever station on Russian disinformation. Of course, I was listening to it as I was about two-thirds of the way through a Douglas McGregor interview that Dr. Duke sent me, and you've got two diametrically opposed narratives, both of which cannot exist in the same universe. I mean, it's like matter and antimatter. The version that's going to be annihilated is the one you sent me. For the most part, the one you sent me was very, very anti-Russian, anti-Putin. The only thing in it that actually I'd agree with was there was mention of what some stories that have come out of RT and whatever saying that Ukraine is run by Nazis, and of course while there is this kind of weird cartoon Nazi presence in Ukraine, it is a factor. The idea that these are actually people who run Ukraine? No, Ukraine is run by Jews, and nobody is prepared to say that for reasons that only he completely understands. Even Vladimir Putin is not willing to say that. I can venture a guess as to why he's not willing to say that. But you know, otherwise the narrative that we've been hearing from the Western media that Russia's losing and losing hard, and Putin is dying from cancer and is trying to take as many people with him as possible, and all these other crazy things, these cannot really exist in a reality-based universe. And those ideas, those narratives are going to be annihilated.
I heard that broadcast today on David Duke where we played McGregor, right? That was the name of the guy. And he skirted right up to the edge of the truth.
Yes, right up to the edge. The one that I was listening to just now, I think he's a different interview, but he was saying more or less the same things. I didn't get quite to the end, so I think there are some things that Dr. Duke wanted me to hear that were at the end, but we had to I had to do the prep, read your prep for this show. Yeah, Douglas McGregor is saying as much as he can. And one of the points I was trying to make in Dr. Duke's show this morning was we're kind of akin to a hostage situation. Imagine a situation where you've got a small band, maybe a half dozen armed people, and they, let's just say they go into some sort of concert hall. Maybe there's a rock concert or a classical music concert or whatever, and there's hundreds of people, maybe even more, hundreds of people. But they can take control. They can take all those people hostage. They can take control of those people. But of course, the people, the hundreds or thousand people, have the capacity to Zerg rush, if that's the proper term, to Zerg rush the gunmen and overpower them. Except that the first people approaching the gunmen are going to be killed. Those people are going to be martyred or sacrificed. Some other people may be able to actually reach the gunmen and do some damage before perhaps being killed themselves. And there, behind them, there may be some people who will actually be able to take control of the situation, take control of the gunmen. And what it seems like is people are positioning themselves perhaps to be the survivors who take control, but very few people are willing to actually sacrifice themselves. And, you know, I'm not trying to be a sycophant or sycophant or however it's pronounced. Dr. Duke's done that for 50 years. You know, willing to make massive sacrifices. Kanye West, mid-career, decided that he is going to do that. I don't know how, you know, how long it's going to continue. But these people who, when I say these people, I'm talking specifically about Jewish power. They can remain in power in the United States. This is a completely Jewish operation in Ukraine. They can do these things because nobody's willing to expose them. Nobody is willing to talk about it. Nobody with enough with enough reach, nobody with a big enough platform is willing to do this because there's too much to lose. Anybody with a big platform has too much to lose. They're not willing to do it. They might want to position themselves so that they can pick up the pieces if brave people can actually, or you know, some of them, people like Tucker might think that they can. Well, that would be a completely different analogy, but that they can get part of what they want by playing along halfway and opposing them halfway. But I hope you understand what I'm getting at. I'm going to stop talking.
Yeah, no, I got it. Like you said, the frontline people, so people like David Duke and the guys at TRS and some of the hosts here on RBN were willing to expose. Yeah.
And I'm going to say young Nick Fuentes as well. I'll throw him in there. And Andrew Anglin, who, look how sacrificed he is. He can't even reveal what country he's in.
Right. So we're the frontline guys taking the hits. And McGregor's way back in whatever row, just saying what he can say, but not going all the way with it, not coming out and actually exposing the truth. If we could talk about it, if it could be talked about on a mainstream, you know, let's say Tucker, for example, if he could talk about it, then we could deal with the problem. But like you said, no one's willing to get on that front line. And the reason why I sent you these WKMS articles, I was reading them this morning. They play great classical music, but they're, you know, very liberal mainstream. And this is what people are reading, though, so we got to deal with it. So they kind of they talk about the claim of Ukraine developing biological weapons. I mean, that's a fact. There's a biological laboratory there in Ukraine. And they say that that this is a piece of propaganda that's pushed by right-wingers, QAnon, and Tucker Carlson types. So, you know, that's one thing right there that if it could be talked about truthfully on the mainstream, you know, we could deal with this. But they're not willing to do that. They're saying, well, this is propaganda that Ukraine was developing biological weapons, and they were willing to put nukes on the border to threaten Russia and wanting Ukraine to be part of NATO. That's the whole reason why this invasion is you know, went on. Invasion, I mean, military operation, I don't know what you want to call it, but it's why Putin took control of the situation. And here we go a year later, and it has taken a while. I've even gotten fatigued by even having to report on this, because people in our circles want to say, well, why hasn't Putin went all the way? Why is this still going on? Oh, wait, there was that one picture with Putin and some Jews years ago. Maybe he's controlled. You know, so you've got narratives on the mainstream media side that we have to deal with, and we also have narratives in our own circles that we have to deal with about Russia being controlled, and everything's controlled. It's all theater. So we got to deal with like two fronts, you know, coming in.
Mm-hmm. And it gets very tiresome.
It does.
So McGregor makes a lot of points, and he does have a platform. He still can get on Fox News, and he can get on some major podcasts. And Dr. Duke is pretty enthusiastic about him, because Dr. Duke feels that McGregor is saying things that absolutely indicate that he understands what's going on, even if he is not willing to, even if he's pulling punches in terms of Jewish power. He's got to understand it. Well, anyway, regarding the war going on, McGregor said, and, you know, correctly, but I think kind of incompletely, McGregor said that Putin, his original goals were minimal. For 8 years, Putin had been trying to get the two Donbass breakaway regions, self-declared republics, Donetsk and Lugansk. He tried to get them reincorporated into Ukraine, but this is true. He did try to get them reincorporated into Ukraine, just with guarantees that their cultural and civil rights and human rights would be protected, and that they'd have a certain degree of autonomy, which is extremely reasonable. These were agreed upon by the Ukrainian government at the time under Petro Poroshenko in negotiations that were sponsored by and facilitated by French President Hollande and German Chancellor Angela Merkel. And of course, Poroshenko, Merkel, and Hollande have since publicly stated that they were not negotiating in good faith, that all along they were simply trying to buy time for Ukraine to arm itself. All three of them have stated this publicly and unequivocally. That's not something that that, well, I guess McGregor, I don't know if he mentioned it in this interview, but it's something he's mentioned. And so, you know, there's a certain amount of criticism of Putin for being naive, for having been the only person willing to negotiate in good faith and being duped by these other three parties. And McGregor stated correctly that Putin, when this conflict or invasion started, that he sent a small force with very limited objectives and specific instructions to avoid doing harm to, you know, Ukrainian civilians, to avoid doing anything that would make reconciliation after the conflict impossible, because he views Ukrainians as fellow Slavs, fellow Eastern Orthodox. And I would add that, you know, there's considerable family ties between people in the Ukraine, people in Russia. A lot of people have cousins and uncles and aunts and brothers on the other side of the border. And McGregor portrayed it as maybe Putin being a little bit naive. But, you know, now McGregor saying, well, Putin is, he's having to up the ante, so to speak. And he has prepared a much larger force, which is, you know, even with the small limited force, he was winning slowly but surely. But now he's got a much larger force, and there's no way he's not going to meet his military objectives, which is very similar to what I've been saying. The one thing that he's leaving out, I don't necessarily think it was naivete that led Putin to that more minimalist military approach. I think he felt that in order to maintain both public support and international support among non-Western countries, which he's been able to do both of those, that he needed to go in as gently as possible. I mean, obviously it's a war and people are being killed, but he needed to go in as gently as possible, even if it meant a more prolonged war. And, you know, you will never be able to go back and test the alternative of what would have happened if he had blitzkrieged his way in. But his approach, even if it's taking time, it seems guaranteed of success. I kick it back to you, Jeremy.
Yeah, and something else WKMS brought up is, like I said, they're neglecting to say that the reason, another main reason this war is being prolonged, is because of the Western support, the money that's being dumped into Ukraine. But also they're talking about, as I mentioned, you know, they're saying that Russia is putting forth a narrative with the Chinese government, which they call a proxy, right-wing figures in Europe. They're calling apps like TikTok part of Russia propaganda, and Russia Today. And they're saying that that's how they're claiming that Russia is, you know, waging an information war on the West using these media. And you've heard the big thing about TikTok. I mean, supposedly that's, you know, the Chinese government spying on us and subverting us. But I would mention, well, TikTok is controlled by Apple, aren't they? I mean, that app is controlled by Apple. So if TikTok is indeed an instrument of the Chinese government, like they're saying, you know, Apple should be held accountable, and it's not. That's how you know the whole thing's fake. Hey, we're coming up on the break. Let's take this, and we'll be back on the other side.
I can feel the thunderstorms inside.
What does it say about a society who elects people who can't quote their own founding documents? I'm Peter Serafine with this week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Right to Bear Insurance. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com, just in case you ever need to use your Second Amendment right to bear arms. We all had fun with President Biden having a little brain fart quoting the Declaration of Independence. You know the thing. Last weekend, Vice President Harris did something far more sinister. She intentionally left out life enlisting our unalienable rights. Clearly, she did this because she was speaking to a pro-abortion group, but that doesn't explain her first omission. The second, before omitting life as an unalienable right to pander to the crowd, she left out God to create the new progressive version of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Our rights do not come from an all-powerful government, and that is what makes the United States the greatest nation in the history of the world. We are doomed to tyranny if we allow our politicians to forget or ignore that. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Coming back to Tuesday Night Broadcast, the Patrick and Jeremy Show. We're taking some select calls. We're going to take new calls mostly. Got one from Australia here that we want to take next. So we have Scott in Australia. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, g'day, guys. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
Hey, Scott from Australia. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Gotcha.
Yeah, you got me? Oh, cool, yeah. It's good to be on the network, mate. It's the William and Jeremy show, eh?
Yeah, this is Patrick and Jeremy tonight. William's on Thursdays.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah, no, I'm at work and I only just caught the last little bit of the talk. And, I've got to say that, you know, this TikTok business and blaming the Russians and the Chinese and all this stuff, at the end of the day, our governments, if they want to say that it's Russian meddling or Chinese this, whatever, they can stop it. They can take it off the airwaves. You know, they can shut down the apps. They can, you know, they do that kind of thing in China. They do it in Israel. So, you know, our government can do that if they want to, but they don't. And these corporations, yeah, they've got run, pre-run. Yeah, in Australia, it's a little bit different with the TikTok issue. In Australia, there's a lot of the normies out there, you know, they're watching the TV, and you know, it's been a anti-Chinese agenda for a long time now, and so you've got the, you know, the, oh, you know, they're communists. They want to take. Well, this is what they think, Jeremy. They think that the Chinese want to take over Australia.
Of course, the Chinese want to take over the world. That's something I was going to ask you. Is that what's the populace feel like where you're at in Australia? Like, I know they were really hard on you guys with the COVID lockdowns, and I know there's a lot of government control there. Are you getting sort of the same narratives that we're getting in the West? Sounds like you are, that China's taking over, you know, Russia's one, you know, Russia's the aggressor in the Ukraine wars. Is it all the same thing there?
Yeah, pretty much. It's all the same thing, mate. The filth is here as well. You know, this spread of degeneracy, and you know, the COVID thing. Yeah, it was pretty tough, eh? I think Mark Collette said, you know, the other day or yesterday that, you know, we in Australia, we're an island. England's an island. You know. They put it out on the airwaves that there's this killer virus coming out of China, right? And they kept the planes coming, they kept the boats coming, and they brought this thing in. You know, if any right-minded person would have just said, okay, well, no more planes from China, no more boats. You know, until we figure out what we're going to do. You know, that's common sense, right? So the whole thing was, yeah, orchestrated. But, yeah, they were very hard on us in Australia, but they've been hard all around the world, really. You know, we're probably no better, worse off here than, you know, anywhere else. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I remember reading that they were really coming down hard, like, throwing people down and arresting them for not having the mask on properly, things like that. I read that they were much harder in Australia probably than any other Western country in the world, is what it seemed to me like.
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, there is some truth to that, mate. We've had police officers throwing grannies to the ground for walking in a peaceful protest. And then capsicum spraying them in the face, right? It's all on camera. We've had policemen literally just throw, like from behind, throw guys onto the pavement. They just come in with their knees and they assault these protesters. They shot us with rubber bullets
at
one of our shrines. Yeah.
Hey, Scott, I mean, hang on to that thought. We're going to take this break and we'll be back on the other side. I'll let Patrick respond to you.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Okay, we're back to the show. Patrick and Jeremy show in Republic Broadcasting in plain sight, talking to Scott in Australia. So, Scott, if you're still there, Patrick's got some comments for you. And by the way, rubber bullets, man, that's harsh. We saw rubber bullets. You saw it at January 6th, Patrick. But we didn't near that type of crackdown in America that they got over there in Australia over COVID violations. But go ahead and address Scott.
Yeah, well, a couple things. One is, I know, Jeremy, you had asked Scott something about China, and we'll be talking about China later in the show. And, if you listen to my show, I might seem like a massive China shill, but actually I'm against scapegoating any entity that isn't really the source of our problems. You mentioned the show that I had for yesterday's show for this morning's show with Mark Collett. And towards the end of the show, Mark said something about if they were serious about keeping the coronavirus out, they could have just, being an island, United Kingdom just could have shut its borders down, being an island. And, at the very, when the coronavirus was brand new and people didn't know what was going on, that might have been an appropriate response. That was Trump's knee-jerk reaction. At least shut down flights from China. That was his immediate reaction. And with the Ebola virus, which is very, very serious. I mean, extremely high death rate, miserable death. It certainly makes sense not to be importing the virus from West Africa. But it was pretty clear within a few weeks that the coronavirus wasn't anything like the Ebola virus in terms of severity. It had a very very high survival rate, and it was only really dangerous in very elderly people or people, you know, very obese or who had certain health conditions, bad health conditions. But for younger people, for healthy people, it wasn't, it really wasn't anything more than the flu. So, you know, shutting down the borders, honestly, if something like the coronavirus, it's going to get into the country sooner or later, and it's going to spread around sooner or later. And our health officials were on fool's errands. They were on a fool's errand to try to slow the spread and flatten the curve. That was a fool's errand, but they were the right people for the job. They met the job description, and they were fools. Now, one place that did, I correct me if I'm wrong, but New Zealand under horse lady prime minister, what's her name, Jacinda Arand, she did shut down she did shut down travel in and out of the country. To what avail? It finally got in. You know, everybody may have been forced vaccinated by the time it got in, but the vaccinations don't stop it from spreading. So she was on a fool's errand. She was eminently qualified for the position. So it was the end of the show and Mark brought that up. So I didn't push back. There's no point in me pushing back in a hurried statement and he wouldn't have time to respond. But that was my feeling on that. By the way, some people have told me that during low tide, you can actually wade from Australia to New Zealand. There's no truth to that rumor, is there?
I haven't tried it personally, Patrick, but it's a pretty long wade. If you can do it.
Yeah, I know. That's a joke.
Take a while.
yeah, it'll take a while.
Well, Patrick, firstly, mate, it's a honor to actually speak with you. It's kind of surreal because, I mean, I've listened to, it must be at least several hundred hours of you, and your service is, it really is important, and you're doing an amazing job.
Thanks a lot,
well,
Scott.
I really appreciate that. And even if I'm only reaching a small number of people, if there are people like you who have good brains and can process information and maybe disseminate it further, then it's worth it.
Yeah, hey, I've got a riddle for you. Speaking of brains, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So the question is, how much information can be stored in one human brain? Okay, that's the question. Are you ready for the answer?
How much automation can be stored in one human brain?
Yeah. So how much data or information can be stored in one human brain? And the answer is, only Patrick knows.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. No, your recall is astonishing would be putting it lightly. Like, the names, the dates, the figures, the events, the people, you know. It's breathtaking to hear you talk sometimes. But, I thought you'd like that riddle.
I really appreciate that. Hey, before you go, I want to ask you something. So I was last in Australia maybe 6 or 7 years ago, and I remember walking around the harbour in Sydney and, you know, the Opera House and all that. And I remember thinking, where are the white people? And it really was all Chinese people. Now, they weren't necessarily all immigrants. I think there was a lot of Pokemon Go tourism going on. Like I didn't realize what was going on. Everybody was wandering around in a trance, looking at their cell phones. And my kid told me, "Oh no, they're playing Pokemon Go." But you know, I thought, is Australia being invaded by China for their Pokemon resources? But, you know, the thing is, that's kind of a joke. But what's not a joke is, in America, 20% of Mexico moved to America, and they became the largest minority in America. But if only 2% of China moved to Australia, they'd become the majority. And, you know, I don't know if there's like an active plot to take over Australia or not, but the fact is, with Australia, with its very small population, is way more vulnerable to mass immigration than a country like the United States.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah, it is. And, I mean, our cities are gone, you know. If I go to any of the capitals, Melbourne, Brisbane, Sydney, you know, it's either lots of Indians or it's lots of Chinese. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a combination. The white people in the cities in particular have been replaced, okay? What's interesting, what I find interesting, it's kind of a question for you guys, is if, let's just assume, like, Jews are own and control, they run things in the USA, because it's the biggest empire, right? So we accept that as fact, because it is. And it's probably likely then that Australia is also controlled by them as well. So although it's not as in your face obvious as it is with the United States. In the United States, you know, it's really, really obvious. But here it's a little bit behind the scenes. It's behind the scenes, you know. We can get names and it's a bit harder. But anyway, so if they are controlling Australia, then they're letting China come in and buy up our farms, buy our land. You know, they're letting them do that. So it's like, well, they still hold the card, and, you know, maybe it's an economic card, you know, and they can do whatever they want there. But, yeah, does that kind of make sense? But,
well, I mean, somebody could look at it that way, and I don't have enough background in Australia to educate you on what's going on there. But what you do have in all white countries is a Jewish-led effort to have mass immigration in order to turn the white native population into minority, to reduce cohesion and everything. And I don't know. I wouldn't think there's a specific effort to turn Australia or some country over to the Chinese, because the Chinese are ultimately competitors, at least potential rivals, with Jewish power. But whether it's a goal or not, it could well wind up being a result of these policies. Because you think of what is Australia near to? Well, it's near to Southeast Asia. It's near to India. It's near to China. And so if you're going to have mass immigration, you've got those countries not only in proximity, but those are all countries with massive populations. China, India, and Southeast Asia, that's over 3 billion people. That's like half the population of the Earth. And that's and Australia is, what, 20-something million? Is it more or less that?
26, 7.
Yeah, I mean, how easily would it be for Australia to be completely swamped?
Yeah, well, we're literally on the doorstep from Indonesia, you know, which,
with 300 largest million people.
Yeah. So, it's only a few hundred k's away or just over. So, yeah, it's a bit of a concern, absolutely, but... Well, fellas and Jeremy, Patrick, thanks for having me on.
Appreciate the call, mate.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. How's that?
Good. Well, Kat, good to hear from you.
Yeah, yeah. It's good to hear from you guys too, eh? And yeah, I'll catch you later, fellas.
All right, thanks a lot. Let's go on to Vinny in Indiana. I think we have Vinny up next.
Hi, Jeremy. Hi, Patrick. Hey, I really appreciate the caller from Australia. Just in case, there used to be a guy on TRS. He was an Australian comedian, and he had something called the Wang Show. And I think his name was something like Terrence Stamp or something like that. And he did numerous shows on the Chinese immigration to Australia, and he mentioned this guy, and he's in every single time, and that means he's Jewish. He called him High-Rise Harry, and he was building all of these huge high-rises in Sydney and packing them full of straight off the boat Chinese. And it was really funny. He's really funny, but also incredibly insightful. And I think you can still find those things on TRS, the guy's, the previous caller's interested. It's called The Wang Show. So really, it was really good stuff. What I wanted to call in about is kind of a comment on, you guys do really good breakdowns on people who are, gatekeepers versus gateways. And you mentioned Douglas McGregor, and I have a lot of respect for him. I think he goes as far as you can go on YouTube and without getting axed. I mean, he clearly is aware of the Jewish issue. He also appears on Judge Napolitano's show. And when he appears on that his channel, he's a little bit more open about it. Judge Napolitano also had Phil Girardi on, and they were from The Un's Review, and they were pretty. Phil Girardi is going to be a little bit more open than Douglas McGregor, but I respect those guys because they go as far as that you can go. A person who I don't respect at all is Scott Adams, and maybe we can talk about him a little bit.
Yeah, so I haven't. So Dr. Duke was talking to me today about this great interview by Judge Napolitano with Philip Giraldi. And Philip Giraldi, you know, I've been familiar with him for a number of years, probably 20 years since the Iraq War. And Mark Dankoff follows him closely, and whenever Mark Dankoff is on, he does a great roundup of news, and he talks about articles that have been written. And Philip Giraldi is somebody who he reports on often. And Philip Giraldi goes, he doesn't go as far as you can. He goes farther. He actually does go farther. And, so that's great. Scott Adams, I know what Dilbert is. I'm familiar with Dilbert. I'm not that familiar with Scott Adams. And, he's in the news recently because he says, white people just have to get the F away from black people. I think his level of understanding is just a lot lower, that he's capable of noticing certain things. But, what do you think? Because you probably know more than I do about it.
He's gotten very, very rich. He started his Dilbert cartoon in like the late 80s, early 90s, just as the H-1B was being pushed. And he darn well knows that who's behind pushing the H-1B and the replacement of white males in white-collar jobs. He absolutely knows it. And, the villain in his cartoons is the pointy-haired white middle manager. White middle managers have been wiped out in corporate America. You know, the same guy who was Dilbert, who got promoted because he wrote some really good code, and he's now in his 40s, those guys have been wiped out. And, he knows exactly what he's doing. He's, he's dishonest, but he knows exactly. The guy lives in a $50 million house. He has an indoor tennis court and pool. He lives in an area where he's surrounded by ultra-rich Silicon Valley guys. I mean, he didn't get, he knows exactly what things he had to do to get where he is. And he is kind of he's a copium merchant for, the powers that be. He is definitely like you guys criticized Tucker Carlson. He takes you a certain way and he does the redirect. And that's exactly what Scott Adams does, because the problem in black and white relations is the toxic environment that's been created by Jews. But he puts all the blame on blacks. Blacks have plenty of blame, but they're not the whole problem. And he knows that.
Yeah, obviously you know a lot more about him than I do, so thank you for that. Thank you for saving me from pontificating on something I don't know much about, so I appreciate that.
Well, all I'm saying is, you know, it would be a worthwhile time to kind of break down figures in the media who are people like McGregor. I mean, another person who I have a respect for is Mark Dice. Mark Dice is one of the pioneers of political commentary on YouTube, and he's very much aware, and he goes as far as he can go without getting his channel nuked. But he has opened up a lot of people to other avenues of thought. And I have a lot of respect for Mark Dice. You know, he's his own entrepreneur. He's one of the first guys on YouTube. So he paved the way for a lot of other people, you know. But, you know, there are people like them, and then there's people like Tucker, who I think he's definitely doing calculated redirection on behalf of who knows who, you know. And there are people who say, you know, his dad was in the CIA and all that. So those, you know, I there's things I like about Tucker, but there's always a calculated redirection, like Jeremy says. And it's worth breaking down Tucker, people in the media like you guys do.
Yeah, with Tucker, what I've been saying about Tucker is that he was being groomed to take Rush Limbaugh's spot. Because I don't know if they knew Rush Limbaugh was going to die or just retire. But, you know, Limbaugh probably would have retired had he not gotten cancer. And they wanted somebody to take that slot because Limbaugh was very important in conservative politics. And he was able to take you, excuse me, he was able to take you to the edge of the truth and redirect you at the last minute. And Rush said a lot of good stuff, like pro-white stuff. Rush said stuff that, you know, that would corral the ultra-right wing. And that's what they wanted. They wanted the right wing to have a pressure relief. They wanted them to be able to listen to someone that they thought was telling them the truth, but don't take them all the way there. And if you look at Tucker's career, it's only been 3 or 4 years, maybe. Wouldn't you say, Patrick, that Tucker has been, taking the stance that he has? I mean, before
it's
that,
been,
he was
it's both been hiring. A little over 6 years, because he got his position within a month or so after Trump was elected and before the Trump inauguration, and kind of immediately blew up.
Well, there you go, because the Trump candidacy and presidency sort of unleashed this white lash, and they had to do something to control it. And Rush was doing a pretty good job with it, but they knew Rush wasn't going to keep on, you know, indefinitely. And with him dying, that was actually the best thing for them, because now Tucker can just go unchecked. And we see what he's doing now. We see exactly he's drawing us all into war with China.
Yeah, very much. A good comparison for Scott Adams, the contrast with him, is the cartoonist Stone Toss, because the Stone Toss cartoons are really... they're brilliant satire, but they also, they're not copium. They motivate you. You see, I mean, that guy has some, you know, he does some amazing cartoons, and they absolutely capture, and, you know, you read a Stone cartoon, you want to get off your ass and, you know, send money to RBN, or, you know, see, you know, you want to make the effort of getting a money order and send it to the NJP, you know, but Scott Adams is pure copium. I mean, he's like QAnon or whatever. You know, it's just but I mean, he's gotten very rich doing it.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Well, hey, always appreciate your insight, Vinny. You should talk to Mike about getting the show on RBN. I'm not even kidding.
Maybe someday. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Yeah, so that gets us right into the next topic, which we'll have to continue on National Bugle, Patrick and Jeremy. But that's about this House Select Committee forming a committee to talk about the Chinese threat. That was the second WKMS article. And they mentioned the balloon, of course. Trying to spy on us with balloons. That way their satellites don't get worn out, I guess, or something.
Yeah, it's so tiresome. And, you know, I was somebody who said that there was some value in the Republicans winning at least the House of Representatives in the midterm elections. And I still think there's some value in it. But this, honestly, is kind of predictable. I'm not surprised that they're going after the China stuff. To the extent there's value in the Republicans having won the House of Representatives, it's not that good things will happen, but it's maybe that you'll get some gridlock, and maybe less bad things will happen because of gridlock. If the Democrats are saying it's Russia, 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 and the Republicans are saying China, 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 maybe less will happen. It's still also fake and gay and tiresome.
It's like, why don't we have a committee on controlling, you know, the contamination from Palestine, Ohio, and the fact that the Gulf Stream's blowing it up into the northeast, you know, coast of America. Let's have a committee on that. Let's have a committee on getting with China and figuring out how to redo our railroad systems. Maybe we could have the magnetic bullet trains like they did. Yeah. No, instead we got to have stupid gay committees on this crap. Yeah, it is also tiresome. Anyway, we do have the end of the show coming up. What are some of your final thoughts on the topics tonight? We had Russia, Ukraine, great caller from Australia, Vinny talking about the what's controlled opposition in the media, in the right-wing media, and not only controlled opposition, but people that just go as far as they can and then stop. What else do you have to round out the night?
I think the house is on fire. The world is on fire, and we need to put it out. I think honesty is really what puts it out in the long run. We have to try to be honest and accurate. How's that?
That's most excellent. And that's what we do here, and we do it with a touch of class. So y'all stay classy. Back tomorrow with Patrick and Jeremy on National Bugle, 1 p.m. Central.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.